that Jesus was creating a group of people that would do God's will. He was creating, as it says in Titus, a people of His very own, eager to do what is good. And that's the kingdom of God. A group of people who want to do God's will. If you look over in chapter 6, this is all review from last time. In the Lord's Prayer, He gives us, I think, a little definition of the kingdom. We're used to thinking of the kingdom as the church, and that's true to a degree. I hope the church is the kingdom. The church ought to be the kingdom. Of course, not all churches are the kingdom. But I think that kind of distorts it if we think of the kingdom as the church. It can distort it either way. But in verse 10 of Matthew 6 in the Lord's Prayer, He says, "Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And that's the kingdom, the place where God's will is being done, whether it's on earth or whether it's in heaven. And obviously God is reigning in heaven on His throne. The angels, they do His will. And in the future, in the New Jerusalem, like it describes the Revelation, the kingdom of God will come down, and the heaven and earth somehow will be combined, and God will be reigning right here among us, and that'll be the kingdom of God. But in the meantime, we can be the kingdom of God on earth if we are doing His will the same way it's being done in heaven, or as it's being done in heaven. So that's the kingdom of God. That's the good news. That's what Jesus came to do. And I think we should just pray this prayer more and more. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Pray it about ourselves. Pray it about each other. Pray it about people we're reaching out to, our family, our friends, our neighbors, that God's kingdom would come in their life and that they would start doing His will on earth just as it's done in heaven. I think that's a great prayer. I've been praying it a lot since I did this study. Okay, let's turn to Matthew 11. That was review. We'll start diving into some new stuff. Matthew 11. John the Baptist is in prison in this passage, and he sends his disciples to ask Jesus if He was the Messiah, if He was the one. Jesus points to the evidence of His Messiahship in His ministry, the miracles, the good news being preached, and He sends them back to encourage John. And then we're going to pick up down in verse 11. "I assure you, among those born of women, no one greater than John the Baptist has appeared. But the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God, or kingdom of heaven, has been suffering violence, and the violent have been seizing it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. If you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who is to come. Anyone who has ears should listen." Does anyone have ears today? Oh, good. Let's listen. Let's hear what Jesus is saying. He's saying that, in a sense, you can use this verse to divide the Old Testament from the New Testament. He's saying the law and the prophets, the Old Testament, lasted up until John the Baptist. And then something new happened, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven starts then. I said a minute ago it started with Jesus, but John was sort of the herald, the messenger, the Elijah, the one who was proclaiming, "It's here, it's coming, it's Jesus is now." You know, he's the herald. So that's when the New Testament begins. Is with John the Baptist proclaiming the kingdom and then Jesus himself bringing it. And he says that John the Baptist, the herald, the Elijah, the one who prepares the way. He also says something interesting. He says, John is greater than anyone else who's been born. And I think he's referring back to those prophets. He's saying John is as great, or no one is greater than John from the Old Testament. Isaiah, David, Elijah, whoever you want to think. He's saying John is as great and as significant as those people, but the kingdom of God is greater. The kingdom of God is something new, something different, something more significant than anything God has done before. And that should be encouraging to us, I think. You know, and Jesus says this several times in different ways in his ministry. He talks about how, you know, people in the past long to look into what we have and what we know and what we're a part of. You know, angels even, he says at one point, long to look into this stuff. So he's saying the kingdom of God is a really big deal. You know, the least in the kingdom of God is more significant than the greatest anybody of the Old Testament. You know, he's saying the kingdom of God is something amazing that God is doing and that God does. And he's saying, if you can accept it. I mean, he's saying, and not directly but indirectly, he's saying, I am the king. I am the Messiah. And he's proclaiming that. It's here, it's now, I'm it. If you can hear, if you can accept it. And obviously, many did, but many didn't in Jesus' time accept that he was the Messiah. He also says, just a footnote, he talks about the kingdom of God suffering violence. If you're reading the NIV, it says the kingdom of God forcefully advances. That's an incorrect translation. If you were to read any other translation, it says the kingdom of God suffers violence. He's talking about John the Baptist being arrested, John the Baptist ultimately being killed. He's talking about persecution. He's not talking about the kingdom being forceful. That's not what he's talking about. And that was an incorrect translation, and we used it incorrectly in the past. Now, obviously, the kingdom of God is powerful. The kingdom of God advances. The kingdom of God spreads. All these things are true about the kingdom of God. But us being forceful, that's not what the Bible teaches. I think the Bible teaches that we're supposed to be gentle. Yes, we have conviction. Yes, we need to be leaders, especially the men leading our wives, leading our families. Yes, we need to be strong in our faith. You know, the Bible talks a lot about us having strength from God. But I think we may have misused this passage to talk about us being forceful and forcefully advancing the kingdom. That's not what this passage says. Let's look down in the same chapter towards the end. Verse 28, Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. All of you, take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You know, we're called to follow Jesus' example, and here is what I'm saying. He says, I'm gentle and humble of heart. You know, he's not like those powerful monarchs we put up a minute ago. You know, he doesn't rule forcefully. He's gentle and humble in heart. He calls people to him. And that's the example we should follow in the kingdom. He also says that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. That he wants, that's what we can have when we're in the kingdom. A light yoke, an easy burden. You know, it's good news we talked about a minute ago. My question this morning, and you can have rest. He says you can have rest. He says it twice. You can have rest in the kingdom of God. My question this morning is, do you need rest? Okay, everybody's nodding this way. I didn't sleep very well last night. Something went wrong with my stomach. I need rest this morning. I almost called in sick, you know. Steve, can you teach the class? Of course, he's out of town. Alan's out of town. So, anyway, I need rest, but I'm here doing it anyway. We need rest. You know, are we burdened? Do we feel stressed? Do we feel tapped out? Do we feel like we have too much to do? Too many responsibilities? Too many bills to pay? Too many demands on our time? Am I relating to anybody? Well, Jesus says that's not the kingdom of God. You know, he's saying the kingdom of God is rest. The kingdom of God is not a heavier burden, it's a lighter burden. It's an easier yoke. That's what the kingdom of God is. You know, I think this feeling is a big issue for us in our ministry right now. I think a lot of us feel this way a lot of the time. You know, I really appreciated Richard's State of the Church address Thursday night. I thought that was awesome. I thought it was great that he reviewed a lot of the good things that have happened in the 5 years since Richard has been here, and the speakers that have come, and the topics we've studied, and, you know, good things have happened. We've started family groups and the singles ministry, and now that we have a teen minister, and, you know, just a lot of good things have happened during that period. But I also appreciated when he put up the list of things he thinks we need to grow in or improve on. I had actually been thinking about that even before I came Thursday night. I've been thinking, you know, it's been 5 years, and sort of reviewing how are we doing. I've been thinking about myself, and I would have put the same thing that he put up there as number one, which, if you remember, he said his number one need is for us to grow spiritually. And if I was to say the weakness in our ministry, that's what I would pick. that I'm not sure we're growing spiritually. And obviously in size, that's one thing, but I just mean us personally. You know, how much have we grown spiritually in the past however many years or months you've been a part of our ministry? Is that characteristic of our ministry, that we're growing, we're maturing, we're becoming more like Jesus? I'm not sure it is. And I think that what we were just talking about is the reason why that's not real characteristic of our ministry. Because we feel tapped out already. You know, we already feel maxed out. We already feel like our dance card is full. You know, please don't ask me to dance with anybody else. Children's ministry, ushering, whatever, help with communion, host a shower. Oh, no. You know, don't make me do. I'm already maxed out. I have my job. I have my kids. I have my wife or husband. I have, you know, my other responsibilities. I have, like I said, bills to pay. I mean, I don't even have time to read all my emails, you know, that come pouring in. I mean, if you go to my work office and you see 300 unread emails, I mean, I have to read the ones that are important and just ignore the rest and keep going. You know, I think that's characteristic. That's characteristic of our society, but I think it's characteristic of us in this room. You know, that it's, and it reminds me of the parable of the sower, the soil, where the seed, where the soil has weeds. You know, and it says we're choked. We're choked by all the cares of this life, the responsibilities of this life. Now, those things aren't evil. They're not bad. They're not sinful necessarily. We may have some sins we need to repent of too. But most of that stuff, it's just choking us. It's making it hard for us to grow spiritually. It's making it hard for us to feel like the kingdom of God is good news. The kingdom of God is rest. Is a light yoke and an easy burden. It doesn't feel that way to us. It feels like, no, you want me to take on another responsibility. Oh, no, you want me to take on something more. I don't know that I can. I'm tapped out. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to violate the red letters rule a minute, but I think Isaiah 40 is expanding on what Jesus just said here. We were talking about John the Baptist. And when Matthew first introduces John the Baptist, he's proclaiming the kingdom of God, or that the kingdom of God is about to come in Jesus. And he cites the prophecy from Isaiah 40 about a voice crying in the wilderness. And we all know that's John the Baptist. Well, most of Isaiah 40 is not about John the Baptist. Most of it is about Jesus. It's about the coming of the kingdom of God. And so I thought it would be helpful to read it and think of it that way. That's what it's talking about. Isaiah 40, verse 1. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and announce to her that her time of servitude is over. Her iniquity has been pardoned. She has received from the Lord double for all her sins. I think it means double blessing or double forgiveness. Prepare the way of the Lord in the wilderness. That's John the Baptist. Make a straight highway for our God in the desert. Every valley will be lifted up. Every mountain and hill will be leveled. The uneven ground will become smooth. The rough places a plain. It's going to get easier, not harder, to walk the path. The glory of the Lord will appear. All humanity will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice was saying, cry out. Another said, what should I cry? All humanity is grass. And all its goodness is like the flower of the field. All those kings with all their wealth, it's just meaningless. The grass withers, the flowers fade, where the breath of the Lord blows on them. Indeed, the people are grass. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord remains forever. Zion, herald of good news. Go up on a high mountain. Jerusalem, herald of good news. Raise your voice loudly. Raise it, do not be afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the God comes with strength, and his power establishes his rule, establishes his kingdom. His reward is with him. His gifts accompany him. He protects his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms. He carries them in the fold of his garment. He gently leads those that are nursing. Now, this is talking about the kingdom of God that Jesus came to bring. And it's not talking about, you know, forcefully advancing commitment, adding things to your schedule. It's not talking about that. It's talking about comfort. It's talking about the time of slavery is over. Your iniquity is being pardoned. Talks about seeing the glory of the Lord. Talks about good news in verse 9. It says it twice. Proclaim the good news. Talks about bringing rewards and gifts. Talks about the shepherd protecting his flock, carrying them in his arms, making it easier for them. You know, is this is what the kingdom of God is all about. This is what Jesus came to offer us. That's what he said. Come to me, I'll give you rest. I'll make your burden light. Is that what we're getting from Jesus? Now, is that what we are getting from Jesus in our life? And I think when we feel stressed out, we feel tapped out, we feel like our schedule is full, and sometimes it may be, that's what we're missing. We're not tapped into the good stuff. We're not getting this kind of comfort and help from Jesus that he offers us. No, it's right there. He offers it to us. Come to me, he says, all you who are weary laden, and I will give you rest. That's a promise we can claim. We don't have to keep on being stressed all the time. Turn back to Matthew 18. You know, I think if we're feeling tapped out, the solution is to tap back into Jesus. And I know we've heard that before, but I want to talk about it in my last few minutes here. But how can we really do that? How can we individually and as a congregation get beyond this feeling maxed out to where we can really grow, where we can really see ourselves grow again and see ourselves become more like Jesus, and see the good news of the kingdom again and receive these blessings that Jesus offers us? In Matthew 18, it's a familiar passage, but let's think about it. Jesus tells us about the kingdom of God. Verse 1, at that time the disciples came to Jesus and said, who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Then he called a little child to them and had him stand among them. I assure you, he said, unless you are converted, actually the word is metanoia, repent, change, and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of God. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child, this one is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, Jesus actually did more than answer the question. He answered the question, but first he said how you enter the kingdom of God. And we all remember that, those of us who are disciples of Jesus. We remember how we entered the kingdom of God. And we did what Jesus said here. We humbled ourselves like a child. We learned. We were willing to be taught. We changed, like he said here. We repented of things we needed to repent of. We were humble. We were willing to let God help us. We were willing to let other people help us. We got into the Word of God. We prayed. That's how we entered the kingdom. Amen? And Jesus is saying here, that's the same way you become great in the kingdom. Or you grow, which is what we were talking about, what Richard was talking about. How we grow, how we become more like Jesus, how we become someone who can serve God in a greater way, how we can become great in the kingdom. It's the same way. The exact same thing that we did when we became a Christian. We have to humble ourselves like a child. We have to dig into the Bible and really be willing to hear what the Bible is saying to us. Listen to it. Jesus and God still speak to us today, just as he did when we became a Christian. And we've got to dig in and hear, what is he saying to me? What does he want? How is he going to help me grow? How is he going to comfort me? How is he going to lighten my burdens? I mean, you've got to get into the Bible and hear him saying those things to you. We've got to pray. You know, cry out to him. Pour out our heart. Cast our anxieties on him. You know, God, my schedule is so busy. What am I supposed to do here? You know, pray to God, just like we did to enter the kingdom. God, help me. I don't want to just be sort of barely making it, you know, just managing to get to church. I want to be more than that. How do I do that, God? Help me cry out to God. Maybe we do need to repent of some things. Maybe there's some sin that we know about and that we haven't been dealing with. Maybe we're discouraged by it. But we can change. We gotta do something about it. We gotta get some help from people. We've got to get some help from God. Maybe we need to cut some things out of our schedule. You know, we did that when we became a disciple. We made new priorities that we were gonna come to church, that we were gonna read our Bible, that we were gonna, you know, spend time with other disciples and learn from them. We changed our schedules dramatically when we became a Christian. And maybe it's kind of drifted back to where our schedules are full again, but it's not all the best stuff. And maybe we need, you know, to simplify some things and find more time for God. And I think when we do this, you know, we can get what I've been talking about, or what the Bible's talking about: rest, comfort, a lighter yoke, an easier burden. When we're plugged back into Jesus, when we are humble like a child and really learning and growing. I'm almost out of time. You know, what we're talking about is not far away. It's not like some insurmountable mountain I can't do. The kingdom of heaven is near. It's right here. You can reach out and you can touch it. You know, you can have what we're talking about, the comfort, the help from Jesus carrying you in his arms. It's right here. You can reach out and take hold of that. It's not far away. And it's good news. It's good news. He offers us these things. Good things. Things we haven't even talked about, like peace and hope and joy. You know, these are the things that we can have in the kingdom of God. It's not about, you know, more duty and more, you know, maybe we do need to be more committed if we've not been committed enough. But that, I don't think we should just think about it that way. It's good news. I mean, there's good stuff to be had if we can take hold of what Jesus is offering us here. And, it may mean we have to make some changes. Like he said, change and become like a child. You know, James 4, verse 8. Says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Now, that's a promise. You can bank on that. If you're feeling stressed out, tapped out, you know, overburdened, the solution is to draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Amen? Well, let's close with a prayer.